The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt.
Hey, there are some monkeys. I think they're talking to us.
Hi there, clown. Glad you came. Make some noise for our monkey game. Clap and dance and turn around and then try to make a monkey sound.
So the elites have been honing their game over the last 100 years. They have financed intense studies on how to manipulate people. And at this point, both their studies and their experience have revealed to them that when there is a major mass movement in opposition to them, then brutally suppressing it is usually a bad thing to do. Not for ethical or ideological reasons, but simply because then all of that energy is wasted. They have discovered that it is much better for their interests to simply infiltrate and finance these movements and thus co-opt them and trick them into assisting their schemes, even as they think that they are fighting them. Political movements that gain popular support have political power. And to a capitalist, political power has monetary value, just like everything else. This expenditure of labor by opposition movements by millions of people around the globe has, like any expenditure of labor directed toward any desired end, has produced a commodity with a market value. The machine does not want to erase that value. They want to capture it. Adbusters was largely funded by the Tides Foundation, who carries out the will of George Soros, a vile currency manipulator and a member in good standing of the 0.1%. And Adbusters was largely responsible for the launching of Occupy Wall Street. The Tides Foundation also funds Democracy Now! And Ralph Nader. A gentleman named Drummond Pike founded the Tides Foundation. And Mr. Pike was working with Jane Bagley Lehman, the heir to the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. Ms. Lehman subsequently served as the chair of the organization from its founding in 1976 until her death in 1988. And when it comes to movements that cannot be bought, in such cases, the next step usually consists of having the leaders framed for crimes they did not commit, and then either jailing or executing them. But in no case does government want a movement to just fizzle out, because they don't want things to just end without transferring all of the power that movement generated to their machine. Yes, they're sort of like the Borg. They always have something to gain, be it gaining more police powers by an unnecessary violent conflict with the movement, as was done in Waco, or in gaining the loyalty of the masses and turning a profit financially, as the historically racist Democratic Party did by co-opting the civil rights movement, and in so doing erasing public awareness of their authorship of Jim Crow laws and the Southern system of American apartheid. However, in capitalist world, any tactic other than simply purchasing and infiltrating the movement is rarely necessary. Now it is time to drum up some outrage, because they are drumming up for a war.
What you gonna do about it, huh? What you gonna do about it?
In addition,
what you gonna do about it?
The biggest interferers in other people's elections on the whole planet is outraged because someone may have interfered in their election. You know, the United States has an entire agency called the National Endowment for Democracy, whose sole raison d'etre is interfering in other people's elections. Ronald Reagan formed the National Endowment for Democracy during a period when the CIA was so discredited that they could no longer just depose democracies willy-nilly. And thus, the United States needed another such organization so that they could continue deposing democracies willy-nilly. So I've been warning you for months now that Donald Trump wants a war. And since the opposition Democrats have never met an interventionist war that they don't like, then I'm thinking it is very likely that the Rump will get his war. Yes, as usual, the Republicans are spending borrowed money like drunken sailors. When it comes to the military, yes, the Republicans always scream bloody murder about deficits whenever the Democrats are running things. But the instant that the Republicans retake the reins, then magically, deficits don't seem to matter anymore. And providing the next beat on his war drum, the Rump recently appointed John Bolton to be his grandest and newest National Security Advisor extraordinaire. And as a representational example of John Bolton's philosophy concerning foreign policy, I would note that for years now, Mr. Bolton has been all over faux news advocating for a policy of nuking North Korea before we nuke Iran.
Get
Venezuela, and Cuba had best watch their backs as well. Mr. Bolton also wants to nuke Russia. Presumably after he nukes Iran, though I cannot find any instances of Mr. Bolton stating exactly which position that Russia holds in his little hierarchy of nuclear annihilation, nor have I heard Mr. Bolton's position on nuking China. So none of that is quite clear yet. However, I am thinking that the rump is very unlikely to go for anything like nuking Russia anyway. Yes, I'm thinking that nuking Russia, at least, is probably not a concern. So hopefully, he will now sleep better knowing that. With the possible exception of Mad Dog Mattis, everyone that had even a modicum of responsible knowledge about world events, and every single one who had even a smidgen of emotional control over their most basic base political instincts, has now been eliminated from the Rump's administration, and everyone who could have passed as an adult in the Rump's romper room is now gone. Only the lunatics are left. And for the record, the only reason that I refer to Mad Dog as a responsible adult is because terms like responsible adult are relative. And in the Rump's administration, there seems to be an incredibly low bar for what can pass as a responsible adult. Thus, even though our beloved Mad Dog has said in public that he likes to kill Muslims, he may be one of the last beacons of anything that even remotely resembles sanity that is left on Pennsylvania Avenue. Or let's put it another way. A ranting herd of insane clowns are now completely in charge of a nuclear-armed madhouse. You might want to hold on to something. If you want to learn to be a terrorist, you should become a cop. If you want to learn to become a criminal, you should go to prison. If you want to learn to be evil, you should go to church. If you want to dumb down your kids, you should send them to public school. And if you want to become president, you should become a reality TV show host.
Isn't the jungle fun, Clem?
It sure is, but listen to me. I'm talking in rhythm, as you can see. Those jungle drums, they sound so neat that I'm all caught up in that crazy beat.
Back to the circus in the center ring. With his jungle beat, we'll really swing. It's been just grand to have you along. Hope to see you soon, but for now, so long.
So long, guys. It's time to get to work now.
All right. That's it for the news and commentary section this week. So let's say we relax the rest of the hour with some music. This is Gil Scott-Heron. Enjoy.
Back when Eisenhower was the president, golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said, because in general, I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed, because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military-industrial complex. Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms-making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex. But all they're doing is paying dues to the military-industrial complex. The military and the monetary. The military and the monetary. The military and the monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to a cemetery. The military and the monetary use the media as intermediaries. They are determined to keep the citizens secondary. They make so many decisions that are arbitrary. We're marching behind the commander-in-chief, who was standing under a spotlight shaking like a leaf. But the ship of state had landed on an economic reef, so we knew he was going to bring us messages of grief. The military and the monetary were shielded by January and went storming into February. Brought us pot-bellied generals as luminaries. 2 weeks ago, I hadn't heard the sumbitch. Now, all of a sudden, he's legendary. They took the honor from the honorary. They took the dignity from the dignitaries. They took the secrets from the secretary, but they left the bitch an obituary. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles away in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, had us all scrambling for our dictionaries because we couldn't understand the fucking vocabulary. Yeah, there were some smart bombs, but there were some dumb ones as well. Scared the hell out of CNN in that Baghdad hotel. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. War in the desert sometimes sure is scary, but they beamed out the war to all their subsidiaries. Tried to make so damn insane a worthy adversary, keeping the citizens secondary, scaring old folks into coronaries. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, kept us all wondering if all of this was really, truly necessary. We've got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. If we only worked for peace, if everyone believed in peace the way they say they do, we'd have peace. The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They've turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery. Got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. We should not allow ourselves to be misled by talk of entering a time of peace. Peace is not the absence of war, it is the absence of the rumors of war and the threats of war and the preparation for war. Peace is not the absence of war, it is the time when we will all bring ourselves closer to each other, closer to building a structure that is unique within ourselves, because we have finally come to peace within ourselves. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning parts of the planet into a cemetery. What you gonna do? Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary.
People say, what you gonna do?
We hounded the Ayatollah religiously, bombed Libya, and killed Gaddafi's son hideously. We turned our back on our allies, the Panamanians, and saw Ali North selling guns to the Iranians, watched Gorbachev slaughtering Lithuanians. We better warn the armies, they may bomb the Pennsylvanians. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to the cemetery.
They got folks out there working for war.
Two, three, four.
Make a whole lot of money, start a little trouble, it's war. Turn this planet in the north and south, it's war. Start a few rumors over there, make money with a war.
Peace.
Say it to yourself.
I believe we got to work for peace.
Peace ain't gonna be free.
You got to work for peace.
If you believe in peace,
gotta go to work.
They got folks out there working for war. Start a little trouble over here.
Night commercial, but it's a matter of fact that there are thousands of children all over the world in Asia and Africa and in South America who need our help. When they start talking about 55 cents a day and 70 cents a day, I know a lot of folks feel as though that's not really any kind of contribution to make, but we have to give up a dollar and a half just to get in the subway nowadays. This is a song about tomorrow and about how tomorrow can be better if we all, each one reach one, each one try to teach one. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Everyone must play a part. Everyone got to go to work. Work for peace. Spirit say work.
To plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew. Eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Right, that was The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Before that, we had Work for Peace. Both of those tunes from the legendary Gil Scott Heron. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is Dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.